This is Rainbow Six Radio, bringing you
the Next Generation Podcast for talk, news, and information for all things Rainbow Six.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another weekly episode of Rainbow Six Radio. This is going to be episode 14, and we're going to be going over some interesting things today. We're going to be talking about whether or not Ubisoft has an image problem when it comes to people thinking that people only listen to pro feedback. We're also going to talk about how it has been recently announced that Rainbow Six Siege is now classified as a Tier 1 esport, speaking of that pro feedback. We'll also examine just looking back at with Siege revising its core gameplay mechanics over the next year and a half, some things that we can go maybe take a look at, things that were under-delivered when the game was originally announced versus what they said they were going to do, and would this be a good time to do that? And then we're also going to reflect on, now that we've had some time to explore the changes with the new patch updates, you know, just kind of what we think about them, in addition to our weekly pro tip and Q&A. So lots of stuff to talk about. So let's begin with this first one here. So does Ubisoft have an image problem when it comes to people in the community thinking that they only listen to the pro players, or, you know, like, not even just necessarily only the pro players? You know, this may include some of the highly competitive streamers or YouTubers that play maybe not on the pro league level, but are still very, very competitive and very, very vocal and have a large platform from which to speak. Do you think that there's kind of an image problem for Ubisoft, maybe a PR issue or a misperception in the community, just as far as like how it looks for where they target their changes and who they listen to for those changes?
In some ways, I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, especially based on the direction that it seems that it's going. And, you know, also we'll talk about this a little bit later, but, you know, now that they've been classified as a Tier 1 esport, it's probably only going to continue because of these changes that they're making to make it a more aggro rush type meta. I definitely, you know, feel like some of the original strategies of playing this game have gone out the window because Pro League and those top ranked players don't play that style. And in doing so, you know, nothing ever stays the same. But, you know, and especially with last week's patch note, too, there was so much negative feedback. And it seemed like they didn't listen to it at all.
And to substantiate that, we're talking about if you were to go online and view the Ubisoft forums or the official Rainbow Six subreddit, not the Rainbow Six Radio subreddit, but the actual official Rainbow Six subreddit, the amount of people, and also the Rainbow Six test server Reddit, which is an official kind of feedback tool, the amount of people that were just saying that these were terrible changes, don't do them. And then a lot of people, it wasn't even just like, don't do it because, you know, they were like actually saying like, here's why. I'm going to explain to you why I think this is a bad change. I'm not just saying it because I'm a copper and I don't know what I'm doing. Like these people would say like, you know, this is bad for this. Buffing Ying to this extreme is bad for this. Taking away the frag grenades is bad for this. Giving, you know, this change to this operator is bad for this. And so there was like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of comments and threads that were all based around that negative feedback, as you were saying. And then it seemed like Ubisoft was like, okay, noted, we're going ahead anyway. And then they released a developer's blog that basically said, here's why we're doing what we're doing. But it didn't really address the concerns. It just sort of doubled down on, like, even the answers are smartass that they gave. You know, it was like everything had like a cutesy little thing, like Mozzie, still a shorty, loses his shorty shotgun. You know, it was like it was like these cutesy little responses and be like, right now your community is sort of on fire. Like, you know, they're kind of rioting a little bit. There's literally hundreds of threads, and within those threads, all of the comments, you know, equal thousands of comments, and people actually having rational discussions. about why they think it's a bad idea. And, you know, you're giving these like cutesy little like, and that was just one example on the Mozzie thing, but they had like, I think they had
my favorite one is Jaeger is less of a pain in the schnitzel.
Yeah. And then for Ying, they're like lights, camera, action. And then they explain like how, you know, and they don't really explain other than like, she's not picked enough and we want her picked more. And it's kind of like, okay, so when your community is on fire like this, and then you're getting kind of cute with what you're typing up for the response blog, and you're not even really addressing anything, you're just sort of reiterating. And it shows a certain tone-deaf response, I felt. What do you think?
It definitely kind of felt like they were sort of mocking the people that were complaining about things.
I didn't take it as they were mocking them, but I took it as like they were like not taking it seriously, which I think is different than mocking.
Yeah,
I don't think it was mocking. I disagree with that, but I do think it was like not taking it seriously, like as if their response was almost like, "Oh, come on, guys," you know, instead of anything else. I don't know.
For sure. Yeah, it's frustrating. Not having your voice heard is a very frustrating feeling. And especially since it wasn't just like, you know, three people that had problems, you know, it was a large quantity of people thought that these changes were god awful.
Right.
And they continued to push it out anyways.
Well, and so it went on the test server for a good while. And while it was being played on the test server, I mean, it's not like it was like, oh, we did the changes and now they're already out there. It was like it was on the test server and people were like saying, like, please don't do this.
Yeah.
Don't commit to this.
Yeah.
And it was just like it was just completely on deaf ears. And a lot of people made the point, what is the point of your test server other than testing bugs and trying to find where the bugs are if the feedback is not going to be listened to? And clearly there were hundreds of, I mean, like I would go on, it didn't matter. I would go on the forum. I would go on the subreddit. I would go on the test server subreddit, which is more of a focused tool for feedback as opposed to the general Rainbow Six Reddit.
Right.
It didn't matter which of the things I mean, you'd see it on the Rainbow Six Twitter. You'd see it on the Rainbow Six Facebook. People were just like, no, do not do this, you know? And of course, there's some people who are like, I think these are great changes. Like, I'm not going to take that away and say that, like, there was nobody that was on board with it. But,
right.
I mean, overwhelmingly, the community was like, this is not good. So, but kind of getting back into, like, the whole perception of do they have an image problem when it comes to people thinking they only listen to the pros. So then we get into the problem of the Goyo change that was a result of that. And they specifically said that they're doing this to address defenders having too much utility, as noted by Pro League. They said this change is being done. They said it. This change is being done for Pro League because he actually has the opposite problem in regular ranked. Like for the wider community in ranked, he's actually underpicked, underperforming. He's not doing that well. But because Pro League can like do certain strats with them and uses three shields in certain ways, like we're making this balanced nerf for Pro League. And they said that they were out there with that. They also committed to in the future making sure that they will address whether the change comes from Pro League. They didn't really specify like the casual community or surveys or I don't know, whatever. But they said that they wanted to in the future be more transparent about what they like, what the source is, I guess, for the reason of why they're making the change. But I feel like I've heard them talk about having more transparency on some issues before and it didn't really materialize. Or maybe it would for like the next blog, but then after that blog, it kind of would go away again or something.
Yeah.
In some things. In other things, they're super transparent. Like, I don't want to knock them. They actually can be super transparent on some things.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, what do you think about them doing that?
So what I don't get is, God, how many episodes? Like a month or two ago, we were talking about how the new head developer or whatever was in, like, we were reading an article or like an interview that was with this guy.
Right.
And he said that if Pro League is not happy with what we're doing. We're doing it right.
Well, qualifier on that, and we talked about it at the time. He said, when it comes to gameplay mechanics and operator balancing, we recognize that that is the realm of Pro League. Like, the mechanics is where they hold their own and they perform. What he was talking about are mechanics that exist outside of that game or gunplay and outside of operator balancing. And I think he was specifically talking about something that maybe happens, like expanding the role of players that are playing support or the players that are like a dead operator and doing how they work intel and maybe changing that up. And that's how he was talking about that. He wants to push some of the pro players out of their comfort zone in areas that are outside of specifically the gunplay and the operator balancing.
Gotcha. Well, in any event, that definitely, I mean, you know, it still sounds like almost like there's different levels of rank, kind of like just ranked in general. And, you know, the larger community is like, you know, bronze, you know, the decent YouTube Twitch streamers are like silver, and then, you know, some people that may be like friend of a friend or something like that's kind of somewhere in between there, and then like Pro League and, you know, the top tier streamers are champion. So no matter what we say, if the higher ups say something they don't like, then they're gonna fix it as opposed to listen to the larger community for sure.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like, when you take a look, they've released those bell curves before that show, like, sort of where everybody is within the community. And it's like, when you look at it, pretty much everybody falls between silver and gold one. Yep. And then, like, on the opposite ends, like, you have not a whole lot of bronzes and way less coppers. And then on the other end, you have, like, not a whole lot of platinums and, like, way less diamonds and champions.
Yep.
And yet somehow I always run into them in matchmaking. But
yeah, right?
So, you know, the vast majority of the game population is in somewhere between silver and gold one, you know, silver three or four, whatever it goes to these days. I think it's been adjusted a couple times, whether it goes to three or four, but it's frustrating, I think, for a lot of people that when they are in those middle brackets to be like, okay, so you made this change, for instance, for Goyo, you took away his shields because Pro League says he has too much utility, but taking away one shield doesn't really solve defenders having too much utility. That's like one operator's gadget by reducing it by one. But in the meantime, you've acknowledged that the wider community in ranked, he's underpicked and underperforming. So you're actually, and then they gave him the shotgun nerf on top of it. So he got like a double nerf. So, you know, but at the same time, when it comes to Pro League, they develop the strats that then wind up trickling down, right? People watch their videos or people watch the tournaments or whatever it might be. And then all of a sudden people are like, oh, what are you doing? Oh, this is a strat I saw on Pro League. And then they're doing it and it sort of filters down. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But then you have like other changes that just affect the day-to-day of people in ways that like it just sort of doesn't touch them or it doesn't affect the way that they play. And I think it really comes to a perception issue because I've, like we were talking about with the patch notes, it's also that when it comes to Ubisoft listening to the pros, you can go into the forums or to the subreddits. The subreddits are a little harder to find them because they tend to also have fan art mixed in and cosplay mixed in and gameplay clips mixed in, which the forum doesn't have. So the forum, you tend to be able to kind of get to the the pulse of the community a little bit more directly through the forum as opposed to the Reddit, because you don't have all that other fluff to filter through. But
so what you're saying is that the forums don't have people asking if Frost and Pulse are in a relationship? Or is it Habana and some?
I'm sure that there are, but you know, you're not going to find like cosplay posts and 52 gameplay clips and whatever. But you know, you see a lot of things where people are kind of saying, like, you're just listening to the competitive players, you're just listening to the pro players. And then there's, like, whenever Ubisoft developers respond, the community managers respond, there is a little icon that pops up so that, you know, you can see, like, oh, there's an official Ubisoft response to this post. And they'll say, like, no, we don't. We don't listen to just the pros. We also listen to everybody else, too. And it's like, they're sort of, like, defending themselves until they're blue in the face about how they listen to everybody. But then they explain that most of their changes are, you know, pro league level changes. Like, maps are boxy and maze like now with buffer rooms, and because they're designed for map only pro league play.
Right.
You know, that's a pro league level thing that affects everything in the game. Night maps have been removed for pro league level play because it's not fair and balanced to have different inconsistent lighting conditions when you play the map in one condition versus another. You know, so they have all these things that it's like, well, the competition highest level winds up making the decisions that affect everybody else. So I think it's hard for them to fight the perception. And I've talked about this online as well, but I feel like it's hard for them to fight the perception that they're listening to everybody also. And yet they tout specifically that changes are made for Pro League, but they don't tout that changes are made for the community. And I know that they said, like, going forward, we want to do this, and, like, we'll see. But another thing that happens is, like, you know, they hold these focus workshop groups where they invite Pro League players out, and then they have them just like, okay, these are the new maps or the new operators or the new whatever, and, like, sit down and play them and tell us what you think. And then they'll, like, make changes before they're even publicly revealed as far as to, like, what that looks like. Or they'll hold focus workshop groups where, like, they'll say, okay, what do you guys think about the state of ranked or the state of bomb or the state of whatever? And then they'll talk about it. And then they'll take that feedback and then they'll act upon it. And it's not a big secret because Ubisoft shares that they do this, right? It's not a secret. And the pros themselves share that they do this. They don't talk about the specifics. They don't say, like, we said this operator should do X, and then they're like, yes, we will do X. Like, they don't, neither side shares that because that's all under non-disclosure agreement.
Right.
But it is known that Ubisoft does invite the pros out for these focus workshop groups for feedback. And I feel like it's really hard to fight that perception where, again, in all these posts, they're like, no, we listen to everybody. But it's like, clearly you're catering to this group in a very specific way. And for what they do, I think that that's fine. I think for gunplay mechanics, that's fine. I think for operator balancing, that's fine. Because they are the ones that play those things at the highest level. And I think for, like, map design, to a certain extent, that's fine. But there's so many more layers of the game that aren't necessarily dependent on those factors that they could be flying out groups of casual fans too. And I'm not saying, like, they have to do it all the time, but, you know, maybe once every 6 months. And so what? Okay, they're doing the pros, like, you know, six times a year, but they'll do the casuals, like, twice a year or something. I don't know.
Right.
But, like, get their feedback too. Have them do focus sessions and say, okay, what are the parts of the game that are important to you? What would you like to see? Because we have this mode called casual that's not meant to be as competitive. We have this thing called Terrorist Hunt. We have this thing called Custom Games. We have other things that we could possibly explore that are even not developed yet, but we could, based on your feedback. What do you know, what are some things that would appeal to you guys? Because let's be honest, you guys do make up 95% of our player base.
Right.
What are some of your thoughts now that I've sort of gotten on my soapbox about that?
I wonder also if it, like, comes down to a money thing, like, if Pro League makes them more money than just, like, general casual play, because people are paying for, like, the Pro League sets, other sorts of things like that.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's definitely, like, if you look at the revenue generating value of a pro player versus a casual player, it's going to be an order of magnitude different.
Like, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
But there's 95% more of those Joe casuals. So that's not insignificant to revenue either.
It would be nice to, feel like your voice is being heard, and take into consideration that 95% of people. And I mean, I know that's obviously not like an exact percentage and stuff, but like, you know, the large quantity of people that, you know, play ranked, play casual, aren't pro league material. And I mean, I'm sure also, you know, the higher ranked players are going to follow like pro league mentality to the end. Cause that's, you know, what works for them, but it would be really nice. And I think, you know, this once again goes back to something I feel like we say every other episode, that there needs to be like a pro ranked,
you know, the rule sets that you play within, you know, how long is the match duration? How many is it? Best of three? Is it best of five? Is it best of seven? Is there pick and ban, or is there map pools or not map pools? Is there, like whatever the various factors are, you know, are these using pro league rules, or is it ranked rules, or is it casual rules, or is it some new derivative thereof? Those are kinds of things that can make it more competitive or less competitive between different modes. Right. Without affecting that operator balancing.
Fair enough.
So do you feel that sort of the tools that they give to the community for gauging their feedback are adequate enough? And so by that, I would say, for instance, like, I feel like a lot of people, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people have probably at one time or another received, like, in their email, a Ubisoft survey. You know, to like, what do you think about whatever? And it's like, you know, 22 questions or whatever, and you fill it out. And who knows if it goes into a garbage file or if anybody actually reads it or not. But like, do you feel like tools like that, or just going on to forums and subreddits and just like posting threads and be like, this is what I like. Do you think that those are sufficient information gathering tools for the wider player base?
Clearly not. Clearly not. Because if it was, you know, stuff like this last patch wouldn't have happened. You know what I mean? Like, it definitely, in a perfect world, yes. You know, in a perfect world, they would be listening to their entire community and taking everything and kind of reevaluating things. But it's not, and clearly they're not listening to the larger population.
And I want to give them like the benefit of the doubt, right? That they're doing what they're saying they're doing. The problem is, and this is the source of the original question, does Ubisoft have an image problem, right? A perception. Perception may not be reality, but perception might as well be reality. Like, if you're not a jerk, but people think you're a jerk, right? You know, like, doesn't matter what's in your heart and your best of intentions. If that's right. The way everybody perceives you, you're perceived as a jerk. That's just the way it is. So, yeah. Like, if Ubisoft is like, no, we listen to everybody. And, like, if they're actually, like, in meetings saying, like, well, Pro League wants this, but Casual wants this. So let's do the Casual thing. But, like, if they're not saying it, nobody knows.
Right.
And they did say that going forward, they want to do a better job of saying it. But, like, I think of some other things that they do, like every season they come out with, you know, okay, we're at the new Pro League tournament, and now here's a 7-minute long video on, Canadian or Team Liquid or Space Station Gaming or whatever, and like the life of a pro and living in a gaming house and doing the grind and like reaching for the stars and like, you know, Q M&M's Lose Yourself and whatever. And it's like, okay, but you know, like where's that same kind of, and again, it doesn't have to be to the, like a 1-to-1 ratio,
Yeah.
But like, where's your acknowledgement of those kinds of things for the people, the 95%, you know, like, I'm not saying that you have to do it as much or as often or have as many focused feedback groups or fly as many casual people out or what, but like, where are those things happening? And if you're doing any of that, then you as in Ubisoft, you need to be showing the community that you are. Here's right. a community video. We're highlighting a few players that just love the game, that they're fans. Their thing, their claim to fame is they're fans. They're yeah. not playing 17 hours a day, 5 days a week for 6 months and defeating, crushing all competition to make it to the ultimate level of pro league play. Like, I mean, that's not every person's story. And if, right. but if those are the stories you're covering, and then you're saying, and we're doing this feedback with these people, and here's the focus feedback workshops with these people. It's like, you gotta be showing you have a PR problem. You've yep. got to be showing that you're listening to these other people too. Do some community highlights, do an occasional invitation of some casual people out to events and find what their casual wants and needs are. And yeah. again, just like the pros, you don't have to share, this is what they said and this is what we're delivering. And of course you would have them sign NDAs too, just because they're casual. They would also sign NDAs, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then talk about it. Let the community know that you did it, so it's not invisible.
Right.
You know,
definitely would help the image problem for sure.
And even if, and some people might be like, well, they fly the pros out because the pros bring in revenue, and why would they fly casual people out? Because whatever. Well, like I said, 95% of the player base brings in its own level of revenue. But even if you didn't want to do that, do Zoom meetings or Skype meetings
right.
with a group of 10 people and be like, okay, this is like a 4-hour workshop on casual feedback with 10 players in the community that we picked at random or that we picked because they're vocal on forums and subreddits or whatever, whatever their criteria mm-hmm. might be. And then just talk about the fact that you did it.
Yeah.
You don't have to share the specifics. It can be under NDA. All the little details don't have to be out there, but just share the fact that it happened.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that would make me feel a lot better about a situation. Even, you know, whatever. It is what it is. Ubisoft, change your ways. But speaking of good old Ubisoft and how things are going right now, what day was it? It was Tuesday. On Tuesday, the 28th, Ubi Justin tweeted that Rainbow Six Siege is now classified as a Tier 1 esport by Esports Observed. Congrats, Rainbow Six team. And now, Rainbow Six, along with Dota 2, have now joined Counter-Strike and League of Legends at the top. And what do you think about this? How do you feel?
So, Ubi Justin is he's a former comm dev for mm-hmm. Community manager for community developer. I always get those flipped. One is definitely high. He was like the highest level of community for within the game, along with It's Epi, and they've both been since reassigned to different projects. It's Epi just left, and Ubi Justin left a while ago to go work on For Honor team. But he was previously the team lead for the community on Rainbow Six. And so him posting this is kind of interesting, and it's been shared all over like Twitter and Facebook and stuff now. But it's interesting to note because it's sort of like a recognition of how much they've put into trying to develop Pro League and trying to really make the esports scene a viable thing. If you remember back to I would say even a couple of years ago, what Pro League maybe kind of looked like and how things were sort of clunky and like how much just more refined it's gotten over time. Like they've like, and I'm not talking about like, you know, even necessarily like, you know, what we were just saying, like is Pro League good or is casual audience good or whatever. I'm just talking about like the production value of what goes into making this like just a premier like esport event.
Right.
It's really gotten so much more refined and polished and slick, and they've worked really hard on that. And so it's definitely a recognition to the team that they've done that.
For sure.
But then you look at other things that are going on and you kind of scratch your head and go, maybe they've been recognized for achieving that now, but I wonder how long that'll last. there's some kind of drama going on right now, right? You were kind of telling me a little bit about it.
Yeah. And I couldn't find the specifics, but essentially there was a pro league team that essentially got redistricted from being in the United States to Canada. And because of that, they kind of lost all of their
placement chances, or whatever.
Yeah, something. Lost all of their chances to actually like make it to, you know, the quarterfinals or the finals or whatever. Cause it was like during the season, was it that this happened?
I don't know. Like this, I feel like this just happened a few days ago. So it's like really recent, or at least the talking about it was. Maybe the action happened a little while ago, but like the talking about it is.
Right. And yeah, it just, you know, like stuff like that. I feel like, cause they like released a statement about like how, like this was total BS and, you know, completely ridiculous and they're not listening to them and they're not recognizing, you know, their concerns. And basically they just completely screwed over an entire team. You know, so in a way it's kind of like, they've taken away the living of this team for a season.
Right. And as much as I personally don't get the, like, you know, playing one game, you know, 8, 9, 10, 12 hours a day, 4, 5, 6 days a week and grinding that. And that is like, that is your job. As much as I don't personally get that, I recognize that that is their job.
Yeah.
They're putting it all on the line. And burning themselves out and grinding themselves down in attempt to not only like compete, but also to like, you know, win earnings and make a living. So when something happens and that's just kind of like,
yep,
rule change, sorry, too bad. And it screws them out of a shot. That's like, well, wait a minute. That's kind of not cool. It'd be one thing to be like, hey, next season,
right,
we're going to maybe do a thing and like your team and your team may be affected by this. And we want to give you guys a chance to prepare. But from what was posted, and this isn't the only post from this one player. I've seen some other posts from other players that have talked about how there's and like, I want to be upfront. I don't have personal knowledge of what this topic is. I am not a pro league player. I don't deal with Ubisoft's esport pro league, you know, team. They're developers that focus specifically on that, right? So what I'm saying is just what I'm repeating from what other people have claimed. And so that's going out there with a big red flag saying, this is not my personal experience. I cannot speak with authority on it. I'm only sharing what they've said their experience is.
Right.
But they've said that, you know, they try to communicate with Ubisoft that, you know, certain things are a problem. And some of them are really hostile and really aggressive and frankly arrogant jerks about it. And I can see if that's the way you're going to handle it, why Ubisoft would maybe not bother reaching out to you and trying to work with you. Because if you're going to be a jerk to somebody else, then don't bite the hand that feeds you. You should probably not expect, because if you're a pro, act like a pro.
Yep.
Right.
But in any sort of thing.
In anything. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if you are, and again, all I know are the claims that have been made. And people have said, because other people, like some wiser minds have prevailed and they've just kind of spelled it out. You know, they've done like that long tweet format where they've kind of said, you know, okay, this is what happened. This is what I did. This is what they didn't do. This is what I tried. This is the time that went by and I got no response despite 4 attempts to request. And then something happened and they didn't inform us. And so like, I'm kind of going more on like that logical approach rather than the people that are like, Ubisoft bad. I'm trying to go with more like the people that sound like they were a little bit more level-headed about like explaining it. And they said that like they just didn't have the contact explaining to them that something was going to change, that something was going to happen, or that when something was happening and they voiced their concerns, like they got no response. And I, you know, I'm not privy to the email exchanges or to the phone call exchanges or to whatever it might have been. You know, maybe they were rude about it and Ubisoft was just like, well, I'm not getting back to you because you're being rude about it. I don't know. But if that's true, then I can really understand how that would be like if I was in somebody's shoes in that position. I'm not. But if I was, how upsetting that would be.
Yeah.
So, you know, is that the makings of a tier one esport? I don't know. Are these problems existing in Dota 2 and Counter-Strike and League of Legends in their esport, you know, programs and with their players? I don't know. Like, I can't speak with authority on that subject. I just don't know. But I do know that there are some issues right now and people do have the rug pulled out from under them. And I have seen this before in previous seasons, in previous years, even going back to the second year of the game. There used to be an Xbox League in Pro League, right? And it was there for the first year. And then in the second year, halfway through the year, or maybe it wasn't halfway through, but it was like a significant chunk of the way, like toward, I don't know, did it happen maybe around Red Crow? Or it was like, there wasn't a lot of time. And it was just like, hey, now we're announcing that Xbox Pro League is disbanded and there's only going to be a PC Pro League. And like, if you were an Xbox Pro League player and your teams were grinding, getting ready for season two that you thought was coming, like I remember there was not a lot of notice. It was really abrupt. And it was just like, and they found out when everybody found out.
Right.
And I remember people just being furious about it. And they're like, what are we supposed to do now? Learn how to use mouse and keyboard real fast and switch to PC and try to get into those qualifiers all of a sudden? And like, it was just like, I don't remember the exact timing, but there was not a lot of time for them to react, not a lot of time for them to prepare. They were not given any kind of major heads up. They found out pretty much at the same time the rest of the community did. And it was like a kind of a big screw you to them. And so like that's ways that some things are being handled. It's like, guys, you might want to look at how that's being handled a little better, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that even kind of ties into topic two a little bit more than I originally thought. You know, do they have an image problem? Do they have an image problem with Pro League 2? Like, how upset are other Pro League teams with just, like, how things are going in the community?
And I know that when I think of Pro League players, and no offense to any competitive people out there, right? I mean no insult by this. But, like, I imagine that working with pro players and competitive, like, ultra-competitive players has got to be super hard and super frustrating. Because by your nature, you are aggressive and like, I don't know, just, you know, possibly quick tempered, you know, and again, it's not a knock to anybody, but like, I've always kind of felt like when I think about like radio DJs, I think like radio DJs must be the most difficult employees to manage.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
You know, like just like, you know, Johnny in the Morning, you know, is probably not really receptive to good critique and feedback because he's Johnny in the Morning, right? Yeah. So pro players are probably kind of hard to manage because they've got an ego and it's deserved. They're good at what they do. Like they can have an ego, but they're probably a little hard to work with.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I am surprised. I honestly didn't think that Rainbow Six would make it up to tier one just in general. But now that they're up there, it will be very curious, especially with this new coming drama and stuff like that, how much that will shake up, I guess, both communities, the Pro League community and us, you know, basic casuals. But how long will they actually remain a tier one esport, and will they just drop off, or will they just drop down to tier two? Or
I feel like they'd probably have a real hard time maintaining that tier one. Dota 2, Counter-Strike, League of Legends, these have been established for years and years. They have such huge player bases. And yeah. Siege just clawed its way up to, like, what, 55 million, I think?
Yeah.
But we also know that a significant number of that 55 million are Smurf accounts. You know, so what is the true player base? You know, it's not 55 million, but it's also like, you know, when you think of like Dota 2 and League of Legends and Counter-Strike Go, I mean, like, they're like 55 million. Uh-huh. Yeah. You know, like they're way bigger than that. So, yeah.
Well, and also the fact that, Dota 2 just made it.
Did they?
And that's the thing. Yeah, that's what he was saying. They're saying that Rainbow Six, along with Dota 2, have now joined.
I thought they had been there for. Oh, that was League of Legends that had been there for a while.
Yeah, okay. For a while, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, they're the new kid on the block, along with Dota 2, I guess. So we'll see if they can hang on to that. But
I could see Dota 2 staying in Tier 1. Because it has been around for so long, but I really have a hard time believing that Rainbow Six will stay up there for a long period of time.
No, I think they're definitely a solid tier two.
Yeah, for sure.
Because the interesting thing is, like, you have other games that are massive, like Call of Duty is in tier two right now. Yep. Like, oh, okay. You know, it's like, so I don't know. You know,
well, and it's also crazy, like, because I was just looking at the tiers, like Fortnite is in tier two. And like, I mean, we make fun of Fortnite all the time, but I thought that had a much larger following than Rainbow Six.
It does, but it has such a high minor population. I mean, it's, you know, like I've said it before, Fortnite's kind of like the Happy Meal of multiplayer games. Yeah. You know, it's the free for the kids, and the kids, you know, just all rally around it. And so I think it has some different rules that apply to it.
Fair enough.
So another thing that I kind of wanted to talk about was we now have. So this coming season is going to be the last season that we're getting two operators.
Right.
Because now season three, where we get the Chalet rework, and season four, where we get the Skyscraper rework, are only going to have one operator in each of those seasons. And they announced that next year, they are only going to have one operator in each of those four seasons. So for the next six seasons, at least, they are not going to have as much content operator-wise delivered. And they've announced that they're for now sticking to the map reworks as opposed to new maps. They haven't announced for sure if there's going to be a new map in next year. It kind of sounds like there's probably not going to be. But they said the reason for that is because they're focusing on core gameplay mechanics. They really want to buckle down on some of these fundamentals and improve things. And, you know, that's why we're seeing like map ping 2.0, map bans, replay systems, reputation system, all this stuff that's coming in the next couple of seasons is part of that initiative, right? And that's all super interesting. So it makes you wonder, like it's like, what else can they do to this game? Oh, all this stuff. And that's just the start. Okay, well then where's the rest of this going?
There's more.
Yeah, exactly. But wait. So, you know, where is all of this going? And I've had some discussions online with some people, and I kind of wanted to have this discussion too with you and see kind of where we think about this. Is with going back to fundamentals or going back to core gameplay mechanics and really taking a look at how to improve things and how to really, you know, sort of do some of that infrastructure work. Is this a time where Siege could maybe make good on some of its E3 2014 trailer promises? And if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, when before the game was launched, the game came out in late fall of 2015. But in E3 of 2014, they showed a gameplay teaser, trailer, sample, whatever, of a round of Hostage. And like everybody lost their mind. They went absolutely nuts for it. It looked amazing. The graphics that were in that gameplay teaser trailer were like, it looks nothing like how Siege looks now as far as like the graphic quality and the lighting and the atmospheric dust and debris, and like it was just like on a whole other level as far as like the quality of it. And the gameplay mechanics were even different, and but then there was other things that were the same, and they had like full destructible floors that didn't have cross beams, and they had a helicopter spawn that dropped you off and you were rappelled down onto the roof, and then the helicopter flew off and you started on the roof, and you know, like all these kinds of different, the defenders were shown moving the hostage once the attackers found that they were in kid's bedroom, and then they moved him down to weight room in the basement. The defenders moved it to hole up in a new place. And, you know, there's like all these different mechanics going on. The hostage isn't just sitting there. Like the hostage is actually like pleading to the camera, come save me. And she's actually like talking to the camera, you know, and it's like this really dynamic, interesting thing. And there's other things too. Like that was just the reveal trailer. There was other concepts that they were going to try to go for and whatnot. But like with them reexamining fundamentals and core gameplay mechanics over the next year and a half, do we think that maybe things like that can be looked at again? And I have some definite opinions on it, but I want to know what your thoughts are.
So based on that extract hostage round that, you know, we watched, are you actually able to share that?
We can put that up on the Rainbow Six Reddit, but if anybody wants to just Google search Rainbow Six Siege E3 2014, like you'll find it, but we'll also put the link up.
Yeah. Just, you know, watching that round was nothing like what Siege is now.
No.
At all.
No.
You know, so I want to say yes. I want to say that they would be able to put these mechanics into the game, because originally it was why I played, why I wanted to play, like stuff like that, you know, the slow moving strategy based, everything is talked out before you act type thing. Super awesome. But now it's so fast paced. There's so much, you know, flicks and spawn peeking and, you know, 360 no scope headshots and stuff like that, that I feel like taking things to slow the game down and making it more strategic would completely destroy Pro League. And I think in doing so, they would lose a large following and they would not slow it down to that extent. I would love that if they did. I think that would be so much more fun to play, but I don't see a world where doing that right now would get positive feedback from the 5%.
And I know what you're saying, but I'm not talking about the speed of play. Like the speed of play they showed in the example was definitely slower. I'm not talking about that. Let's live in a world where that trailer played out at the speed that Pro League plays
of how things are now.
I'm talking about stuff like the helicopter spawn or the fully destructible floors or the enhanced textures and lighting and environmental effects and things like that.
I'm all for that stuff, except maybe the helicopter thing. And the only reason I say that is because the amount of spawn peeking that happens in this game now, unless the helicopter drop was before the game even started, if that was the case, and then you know, went into drone phase and stuff, cool. But like dropping from a helicopter in the start of a game just makes you a sitting target.
Yeah, I really do agree in that. And again, I'm talking about this now because there's people asking these questions online right now. And I thought it was a good discussion point to have. And I don't think that any of that is viable to do.
Right.
For the most part. First of all, you know, because you were talking about the speed of gameplay. Yeah, there's no way that the speed of gameplay that was shown in that trailer is anything that would live up to, you know, the way the game is played today. Obviously. Right. And when we talk about skill of how the game was played when the game first came out to what it was today, it's going to be night and day difference. If I played, you know, we bounce between silver and gold. I think we're gold one right now.
Yep.
You know, but, you know, we had to kind of dig our way out of silver after losing a few matches against some obvious D rankers and some obvious Smurfs that were not actually silvers and golds.
Yep.
They were clearly like, yeah, you're a level 30 bronze and silver. Sure you are. So, you know, we wound up losing our gold and getting into silver. But now we're back up to gold one. But, yep. You know, if you and I were playing at our, like, you know, I don't know, middle gold level that we play at now, back at launch, we'd be like Pro League.
Yeah.
Because the game has changed so much since
yeah.
it first launched, as far as like, you know, people played it so slowly back then compared to how fast it is now. And like the peaks and the angles and everything that's, you know, broken down and studied and analyzed and really understood and practiced is like at the time. You would go back and like a silver now would be like a platinum then, you know, maybe. It was crazy how different it was. So, you know, things that were shown in that trailer just can't translate to today, I think, for a lot of reasons. The atmospheric lighting, like there's dark shadows and brighter lights and smoky, hazy environmental effects from when things exploded. Like when you shot through the plaster walls, there was like plaster dust that hung in the air way more significantly than it does now.
Right.
And like it all looked so cool.
Yeah.
So so atmospheric. It looked amazing. And there's no Pro League would riot. They'd be like, that reduces my visibility. I can't see consistently. It creates unfair pockets of shadow to hang in. It creates places where when I breach through a wall, I don't have my line of sight visibility. It's unfair. It's not competitive. So, and I see the legitimacy of that. I still think it looks amazing.
Definitely.
But I see the legitimacy of that. There's other things that the developers have talked about as far as to why they didn't do it. For instance, the helicopter spawn, they had said years ago it's not exactly a new topic of like, why does your game not look like what you showed it was going to look like? It looks so much better. So like, clearly this is something they've talked about before.
Yeah.
And when it came to the, like the helicopter thing, they said, well, the problem that we encountered with that is that, when you picked one of the spawn sites on the ground, defense wouldn't really know which one you had picked exactly. But when you picked the helicopter one, they knew it. They knew that was the one you were coming in from because the thing flies in and drops you off. And even if they don't see it through a window, they still hear it. And, you know, like they just, it created problems because the defense was like, oh, okay, they picked that one this time. That's where they're yeah. going to come from. And it created opportunities for them to do some unfair like ambushes.
Gotcha.
Because part of it is like, you know, you don't know what spawn they're coming from, but this is a mobile spawn point that's big and loud.
Yeah.
So I understand why they took that out. I think that would be an amazing spawn insertion method for like Rainbow Six Quarantine when that comes out. Or if they ever do any, like, I would love to see that for like Terrorist Hunt insertions. That would be epic. Because you don't have that mechanic going on. It doesn't matter if the terrorists see you coming because they're AI. They're bots. You know,
right.
Who cares? But when you're playing against people, you can't have that. Like, what was something else that was in there? Oh, in the 2014 trailer, they showed the defenders moved the hostage. So they started in kid's bedroom. The assaulters breached. They got in there. They took out a guy or two. And then, like, while they're trying to flush somebody out of, like, master bedroom, a defender ran into kid's bedroom and grabbed the hostage. And then like a couple of guys like ran back down with them to weight room in the basement and hold up in a new defensive position with the hostage. And they were using the hostage as like a human shield even.
Yep.
And it was like a very different kind of, it was amazing to watch.
Yep.
And again, great for like a Rainbow Six campaign. Great for maybe Terrorist Hunt. Great for maybe Rainbow Six Quarantine or something like that. But in multiplayer, it just doesn't work. Because first of all, can you imagine having a hostage that you can use as a shield, like as a human shield? the amount of baits of trying to get the attackers to shoot the hostage so they lose.
Yep.
It just wouldn't work. And I do remember that the devs had said at some point when they were asked about, you know, again, why is this in your trailer and that's not how it works in game? They said, well, you know, the problem was is that they discovered through internal playtesting was that defense could put the hostages into positions that were almost unwinnable for the attackers to try to dig them out of.
Yeah.
You know, like, we're going to put them in this corner behind this couch next to this half wall, surround them with barbed wire and a deployable shield, and like attack would come into the room and they couldn't get at it.
Yeah.
In certain positions, like, it would just made an unwinnable condition for them. Or there'd be other things that would screw up gameplay, like you drone it out, you'd find them in master bedroom, and then you go attack master bedroom and there's nobody there anymore because they moved it over to, you know, the other side of the map, two floors down, you know, and it just it really slowed down the game. It was a cool mechanic. And we did something in custom games where we did a version of that, where we like basically allowed attack to come in, defense allowed attack to grab the hostage, and then defense would run to a room and then say, okay, basically like put the hostage here, attack would let go of the hostage and then run back outside again. And then defense would fortify and attack would come in and assault this like totally new room. And that was a really fun custom game thing.
Yeah,
that was
definitely
so fun.
Definitely.
But like, there's no way that would hold up to like just normal PvP gameplay. There's no way.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of reasons why, even though they're re-examining fundamentals and core mechanics, that those kinds of things can't work. Other things like the just how good it looked, not even just like the dark lighting or the whatever, but just like the textures and the amount of stuff that was in the map. It flies in the face of everything that's in the game right now. Like, there's a lot of clutter that was shown in that map. It wouldn't work. You know, Pro League is all about not having clutter in the maps. You know, freedom of movement. There's also, I remember that the dev team had said that a big thing was that they needed to maintain, under all conditions, 60 FPS.
Mm.
And while they could make the game look that amazing on House, which is a relatively small map, it didn't hold up so well when it translated to larger maps like Consulate, which have way more surface. I think Consulate's like twice the size of House or something. You know, or Bank is significantly bigger than House. Some of those bigger maps, like having that level of graphic quality, texture resolution, the level of lighting. I mean, like I said, when you watch that 2014 trailer, it's like, what game is this? Like, it's clearly House, but it's so different as far as like how good it looks. But like, if you couldn't maintain 60 FPS, you know, even if it was like, well, it only dipped down to 50 FPS because of the performance hits, you know, and like the high end computers could do it, but like the Xboxes and the PlayStations and the lower end PCs couldn't. And like on their end, they're like, no, 60 FPS always. Performance first. So
I will say I do think it's kind of interesting. In the video, it shows a guy putting a breaching charge just on the floor. And it, you know, it just does a large explosion because there isn't, you know, base or boards and stuff.
He puts it about where living room hatch is, but there was no hatch.
Right. And it just it kind of makes me think a little bit about how with the new Hereford,
stolen good event.
How they're doing that in that event, and maybe that's some sort of test to go back to doing something like that.
Yeah, I don't think they go back to doing it for like the broader game. But I think they're like, you know, we had this mechanic at one point and let's bring it out for an event and just see how it goes. Like, I think it's an awesome event idea.
Definitely. But
I know why they don't do it for the wider game, because it's just like every single match would just deteriorate into top down attacks.
Yeah, that's true.
With no cross beams. It's like blow 7 holes in the ceiling, shoot them all from above, fish in a barrel, you win. You know, that'd be every match.
Touche. I guess, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how they go along with that and it would be cool to see some changes, even if it was somehow not affecting Pro League. But, you know, Pro League wins everything. But it is what it is. But now, you know, so we're about a week into the new patch notes.
Yes.
You know, and like what we were saying before, they had a huge pushback on a lot of these things. And let's just quick go over, I mean, the bug fixes, whatever, but let's kind of just quick go over the operators again.
Let's just talk about them one at a time. So what's the first one?
Buck, so lost his frag grenades, got him replaced with claymores. And then they increased the skeleton key magazine capacity by one, and the ammo count by one, too. So,
you know, honestly, I didn't even notice his increased ammo capacity. Like,
I didn't either.
Yeah, I felt like when I was playing with him, I didn't. It's not like I ever really ran dry with him before.
Right.
I mean, I suppose maybe it could have happened, but like, I never felt like, oh, thank good, I had that one more. Yeah, no, I didn't really notice it. But what I did notice is like, damn it, why do I have a flashbang? Oh, yeah, they took his frag away. Because, you know, it defaults you to the different one. Or maybe it was, I think it was flashbangs I wound up as the default. I don't know, maybe it was the claymore. But regardless, I've a couple of times, like I go to do my buck thing, I'm like, what, why?
Yep. It's totally different because there's a lot of times where, you know, you use buck and you attack top down and those frags really come in handy, or, you know, bottom up, either or, you know,
I think the frags are really so handy for bottom up because like on top down, like your bullets can still get the angle on them from top down, and grenade is just like one more tool. But like if you can see them to throw a frag grenade at them, you can probably see them to shoot them for the most part. But when you're going from underneath, you don't have that same advantage of line of sight. It's not as easy. So it's far more effective to throw that frag, lob it up there, and let that area of effect where you can't quite see do some of the work for you. And it's like, I can't do that anymore.
Yep. So, yeah, that one's frustrating. Goyo, so... Well, I'll put all of his stuff together. So, you know, reduced his number of Vulcan shields from two down from three. So now he only has two. And it reduced the damage for his shotgun from to 57 down from 84. Did you play any Goyo or
Kaid? I did. And I know when we played with our friend Scally, he's I don't know if he's a Goyo main, but he's a Kaid main. And so Goyo has some similarities, so he'll sometimes play Goyo too. And I remember hearing him say a couple times, where's my other there's only two now. And I had like a similar feeling of like I put down, you know, the two, and then I go to the third door, I'm like, oh, right, can't do that anymore. I didn't feel like it was the end of the world that he didn't have three. I didn't like it as much. I liked having three, but I don't. It's not the worst change in the world.
What did you think about the shotgun change?
I don't know that I got into enough firefights with him in the last week to appreciate that difference or not. But I know that, again, you know, our friend Scally, who's kind of like the Kaid main and who will also sometimes do Goyo with that shotgun, said that he didn't feel like it made a huge difference and he was still doing pretty good.
He was still doming dudes left and right.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, a headshot's still a headshot. And that's, I mean, that's his skill.
For sure.
So for me, I don't play a lot of Kaid, but as of late, I started playing Goyo a little bit more, and I wasn't necessarily too upset about the Vulcan shields. I feel like you have to be a little bit more strategic of where you place them, because there's been a lot of times where, like, with the three, you put two in doorways, and then you put one vertical against, like, two reinforced walls. So when they breach, then, you know, you have the risk of causing that explosion too.
Sounds like somebody's been listening to an ICCAT video on how to use Go.
maybe. I might have even helped you with that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. You do help me with all those videos.
But you know, so that wasn't terrible. I mean, it will take some getting used to, and I'll have to kind of re-strategize like what is more likely that they're gonna come through. But that didn't bother me too much. I was really nervous at first about the shotgun because I'm not great with like close combat. I panic ADS and shoot 10 feet to the left or right of whoever I'm trying to attack. it's a thing. Just get used to it. But I actually would say I wasn't necessarily struggling with getting kills. I played them for three rounds over Wednesday and Saturday. And I got kills every round. And most of them were medium range. And it's all, you know, aiming at the chest. I don't know if they were damaged, injured before or not. But there was never a time that I was like, why won't you die? Which is what I thought was going to be going on.
Oh, that was just the rest of the time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I forgot that you were there with all of my anger last week. But what I actually noticed more, and I don't know if this was just the way that I was aiming or what, it was really difficult to get trapdoors open.
I don't know why that would have changed.
Usually it's like one or two shots and it's open, but like I felt like I would have to go through like half a round or half a clip to get a trapdoor open.
I didn't know that those were damage based as far as hatches. I thought it was just like number of shot based.
I didn't think so either. Huh. But like it just seemed like I had to shoot them a lot more. And that was
could be. I didn't test that.
That was concerning. Okay.
Interesting observation.
But yeah. So I wasn't too like, you know, last week I was ranting about how terrible this is going to be. The week before I was ranting about how terrible it was going to be. I'm not super upset about this one.
Yeah, I still wish they didn't do it, but
yeah,
it's not the apocalypse. So
yes, exactly. It's not Mozzie still a shorty. So going into Jaeger, he is now a 2-speed, 2-armor. What do you think about that? Did you play with Jaeger at all?
I didn't. I'm not a Jaeger main. I never have been. I mean, I'll play him occasionally, but I don't know. It's just never been somebody I've gravitated toward a lot. Scally, much love, brother. We keep talking about you. But I remember he played him because he likes Jaeger a little bit.
Yeah.
And after he got, I think he did a round with him and he did really badly. And he did another round with him and he did really badly. And he's like, I can't, he's too different now. I don't like it.
Yep.
So, that's not exactly a analytical point of view, you know, but that's what I heard him say.
Yep. He's going to message both of us like in a couple of days, be like, I know you guys have just been talking trash about me in all of your episodes. Scally, the truth's out, bud. Just kidding.
Did you play Jaeger at all?
I didn't actually. Okay. No, that's a lie. I played a couple of times, but there wasn't like, I didn't really necessarily notice a difference. I definitely played him more as an anchor than I would have previously.
Okay. Interesting.
But I don't know. I didn't get enough kills with him. And I didn't get killed enough to make an actual like decision.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure one of them, like I didn't see an operator at all and we won. And then I think the other time I played was when I got disconnected.
Okay.
So yeah, I can't really, you know, give proper feedback, but I'll probably play him tonight a little bit just to see. Now I know you played with Mozzie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you, and I did not, no, I might've played once, but.
Yeah, I don't see you play Mozzie very much, if at all.
I don't play Mozzie a lot. So for me, it's not necessarily like the be all end all, but you used to be a Mozzie main. And I say used to be because now with the super shorty, do you think you're going to play him more?
There's definitely going to be a reduction in the amount of times I pick him. That versatility hit is so hard to swallow. And like, he's got the nitro cell, but like, that doesn't make up for rotations. If he had impact grenades, it wouldn't be as bad. Cause then I could like pop a hatch and then maybe also do a wall hit.
Wall. Yeah.
But with the nitro cell, it's like, it's almost a waste to use it that way. You want to be saving that for like a Montaigne or a Blitz or something like, you know, along those lines.
Yeah. But you also used him a lot because of the gadget.
Yeah. His gadget is still great, but like, it's such a force of habit. The last couple times I played with him, you know, I switched to take out that hatch and I pull out the pistol instead. And I'm like, God, dick, that happened, you know? Yeah. So I feel that one in my soul.
Yeah. Yep. That's, I think out of all of these, that's the hardest pill to swallow.
And can I just say, I was playing with, we were playing with my son.
Uh-huh.
And he was mocking me. He's like, he's playing Castle and he's like, hey, look what I stole from you. I got your super shorty. And I'm like, shut up.
You're grounded.
Yeah, you're grounded.
Yeah. That is definitely a hard pill to swallow, especially because, I mean, you know, we don't have to delve on this too much, but it just like, it takes away from his effectiveness. And yes. It's just, it's frustrating. So now let's go and talk about, you know, the goddess of Rainbow Six Siege now, Ying. Oof. Ying. Whew. Yeah. Did you get to play her at all? Or did you not? Because I played her pretty much every round.
You played her a ton. You were hogging her. So I didn't even have a chance, man. So I think you get to go ahead on this one.
It is a night and day difference. And honestly, being on defense, we played against Ying every round too. There was not a round or game that was played the two nights that we played that Ying was not picked. Mm. And that has never happened before. It used to be for me, like I always enjoyed playing Ying more when it's like not a stressful situation. Like we're either totally about to get stomped or we're winning. And it's like, oh yeah, I'll play Ying because I like her. I'm not great with her, but I like her. But now it's like you can't not pick her.
Mm-hmm.
She's so good now that like her, you know, her damage is up. She has smoke grenades. She has Candelas. It's crazy. I will say though, because she has smoke grenades and she also has breaching charges, right? I'm pretty sure that
I believe so. Yeah.
I did actually half and half. Half of the time I use smoke grenades and the other half I use breaching charges. And it really kind of was dependent on what the situation was, what scenario, if we were playing a secure area or bomb, you know, different strategies for different buildings, different game modes. So, but, it will be very interesting, to see if they decide to give her a nerf soon.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of how overwhelmingly deadly she is now. However, all of the ranked games we played, she did not get banned once. And I thought she was going to get banned every single time. But she did not get banned once.
Well, that's because people don't come out of their comfort bands of Jackal and Echo.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And then everything else was kind of just like, you know, I didn't play with Caveata. I never use her M12 anyways.
So we didn't get a chance to check out that holo site.
Yeah. But other than that, it was just bug fixes and then obviously the CSG 12. So,
so how do we think that that ties into our initial point of how the community was like, don't make these changes? And now that we've gotten a chance to play them, you know, some of these changes are pretty rough or overpowered in the case of Ying. And other of these changes are like, oh, Goya wasn't as bad as we expected with the shotgun and stuff. Like, I mean, what do we think about that now?
If I'm going to be honest, I think that in this is just me, and I'm, because I'm not like a numbers guy. And I mean, you know, you were talking about that one streamer who, you know, broke this down to numbers and like, this is how many shots it would take to do this. This is how many shots it would take to do that. I think if they took certain numbers out, like damage and stuff like that, like if they had just said we're taking away one of Goya's Vulcan shields and we're reducing the damage of the shotgun.
Well, you can't do that because people would, you know, they want to know the specifics.
Yeah,
but maybe if you framed it as we're taking him from a 2-shot at range to a 3-shot at range, then that's giving you something, but it's not super specific until it's released, and then you see the actual value.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, like, because I mean, I remember, you know, last episode when we were talking about this and I was, you know, freaking out, and then I play it and I was like, oh, it's actually not that bad. It's not as terrible. So going back to your question, I definitely, and I guess maybe we should have started with this and then gone into the, does Ubi have an image problem? Because yeah, they didn't listen to their group base and they came out with these, and I'm only upset. I'm like only really upset about, Mozzie and, Buck. I mean, I think, yeah, Buck, and I guess Ying is definitely overpowered, but I'm going to, you know, play the hell out of it until they fix it. So like, yeah, maybe they just need to come up with a better way of rewording things. And maybe that would solve like the image problem instead of like, here's the direct facts. This is what we're doing. You don't like it? We're going to do it. And then you're going to be like, oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was.
I mean, I feel like they did that, though. They said, you know, like, we're reducing Jaeger's speed because he's 90% overpicked. Or we're reducing Mozzie's utility because he's too versatile. Like, they did give the reasons, but people still disagreed with the reasons. I can't speak to the Jaeger one because I didn't play Jaeger since he's been changed. But, like, yeah, Mozzie has been fundamentally altered into a way that makes me, like, when I play with him, I'm just kind of like, ah, just not as good as it was.
Yeah.
You know, and then when I play, like, Buck, and it's just like, no, that's really missing that needed utility, unfortunately. Yep. And so there's some things in there, you know, but it's like, is it a case of, like, yeah, the medicine tastes bad going down, but, you know, just try it anyway kind of a thing? Because it's hard to critique. And this is why when I said it was on the test server, for anybody that wants to really rail against the changes, if you have access to the test server, go play it on the test server.
Right.
Don't just complain about it and be like, well, did you try it? No. Well, then how do you know what you're complaining about? Right. So like when I tried these things on the test server, you know, like I felt like, yeah, these are the reasons why these are problems, because I had actually tried some of them. But it's one thing to test them in a custom game or to get a little bit of exposure with them on, you know, a match or two, you know, versus playing like, okay, now the change has been out for a month and we've had a month to get used to it. Like, that's a different kind of an environment.
Absolutely.
So with that, let's move on to our weekly pro tip. So this is just going to be a real quick one here. So it is a couple of great Valkyrie cam setups on Outback. So we talked a little bit about some things on Outback a while ago, where Captain had this great place over on the dorm side as an attacker to push from. But now we're going to talk about a defensive angle on the dorm side of the map. And this also works if it's secure area dorms or if it's bomb when it puts it between laundry room and what is that game room on the other side of the dorm's bathroom. So this works for either of those spots. But what you're going to do with the Valkyrie cams, one of them is really in-depth. The other two aren't, but they're easy to place, but they're still excellent coverage. So the first one you're going to do is in the dorms room proper that has the bunk beds. There's the bunk bed that's right next to the hatch. And so, you know, go ahead and shoot out the hatch and then drop down. And this is best done with Valkyrie's shotgun, although if you want to take her SMG and just ask somebody else with a shotgun to do it for you, you can do this too. But you're going to want to shoot out the wooden floor underneath the bunk bed and then drop down that hatch, look straight up, and then you'll see the underside of the bunk bed. And above you will be a mattress, and it will have these like vertical wooden slats that hold the mattress up on the frame. You want to throw your Valkyrie cam on one of those vertical wooden slats. It actually makes a difference. If you throw it on the white part of the mattress, it's just a little bit higher, and it's high enough that it obstructs your view. But if you throw it on one of those wooden slats, it's just a little bit lower, and it's enough that it opens up your view. So it makes a difference. So you're going to throw it between the cross beams and get it to land on one of those vertical wooden slats on the underside of the mattress. And then you have a camera that's like, it's at about ankle height underneath the bed. So it's very difficult for attackers to spot this camera. You are not going to see this camera no matter how hard you look, unless you're prone on the floor. But it can see straight down into bathrooms, dorm bathrooms, and it can pan across and show the entire dorm room as well as the doorway that enters into dorm room. And you just have complete command over your field of view there. Then the other two Valkyrie cams I like to put is that window that's right next to that. So if you rip down that window and hop out, then you can, if you turn to your left, you'll see the billboard that's way out there. You just run out a little bit, throw that camera, and your objective is to try to stick it on the billboard post such that it's high enough that you can see above. There's like a propane tank or something that sits in front of it. And what you want to do is make sure that your throw doesn't lob so that that blocks it. You want to get a little higher than that, and with some practice, you can get the throw so it's high enough. But that will show you the entire side of the outback dorm side, as well as show the window you just hopped out of where there's that porch. So you can see if they're pushing from that side or from the other side. And then the last one that I like to put is on the stairs that go up to dorm. These would be not the ones that come over by the kitchen from down below. This would be the one that comes from more nature room dorms area. And when you do that, there's a like this vine growth on the wall. And if you throw your Valkyrie cam in there, it gets very difficult to see. And the leaves on the vines will somewhat block the view of the camera a little bit, but it will also hide the camera very effectively. And you can see anybody coming up those stairs, as well as anybody on that landing and anybody trying to push into laundry room door. There's a little bit of an obstruction there with that chunk of vertical pillar that's at the top of the stairs. But otherwise, it gives you really good situational awareness of what's going on from pretty much any side of that room.
So yeah.
That is the pro tip for this week.
Definitely. I think out of those three, my favorite one is the under the bed camera, because that just it literally opens up the entire line of sight for everything. And it's been very, very useful in clutch moments. But yeah, let's finish today with the Q&A. Our question is from Celtic Katana. And they want to know, how would you feel about an operator that can make portions of a reinforced wall unreinforced, but would still be countered by Bandit?
So it sounds like they're talking about an attacking operator, because it said would still be countered by Bandit.
Right.
Right. So make portions of a reinforced wall unreinforced. Isn't this kind of what they said we might be getting with an attacker that can add a secondary gadget that would handle hard breach surfaces?
Yeah, but I think what this person is saying I guess we have to define portions, because that was like spawn peak hole size, wasn't it?
Known exactly for sure. Okay. There somebody had said there was something coming that would make something. It was like a grenade, and when it impacted, it would take it would break or melt or dissolve that part of the metal, and it would be a small area about the size of like a shotgun blast or maybe like a Hibana pellet blast. Like one Hibana pellet, not all six of them. But we don't know for sure what it's going to be. That's just kind of what a rumor was.
Right. Okay. Well, then let's take it on the other direction. It's a defender. And this defender puts up a reinforcement, but it's only like a half reinforcement.
I've actually been wanting something like that because I can think of a lot of plays where you would have a lot of good use for that. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to do, because you can kind of do that right now a little bit with like the Mira strat, where they'll put the Mira window half height, and then they'll blow out the ceiling above it because it's on a soft wall. It's not on a reinforced wall. So they'll blow out the part above the Mira, and then they can throw smoke gas grenades or nitro cells or whatever over the top of it. The wall is still soft. Right. So if you're on the other side of that Mira, you'll get wall banged. But if you had like a half height reinforcement, and you could do something like that, where you would have a little bit of cover, and I could see other strats that would sort of really open up, and that could be really interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it would be like balanced enough. Like, it could actually be like pretty strong.
Yeah.
Depending on the strat. But I'd be very curious about something like that.
I guess I'm not entirely sure which direction that
I think the wording here suggests that it would be an attacker, because it says it would still be countered by Bandit.
Right.
But so let's flip that, because what you just said was a half wall, right? So what if that's what the attacker did, is they turned half of the wall soft? Like, say, I don't know, say it was like acid spray. And the acid dissolved half the metal, or I don't know, whatever, or liquid nitrogen, and it shattered half the metal and then turned it into a soft wall or something like that. Because it says it would, portions of a reinforced wall unreinforced.
Right.
So that's what I would take it to mean, is it would turn it into a soft wall. So then you would essentially have the flip side of what I was just describing with like that half wall of cover for defense. You would kind of have that for offense.
Yeah.
And then think about, now half of it is reinforced or something. Or a portion of it is reinforced. And then you do that, you open up a spot, and then you can park like a Blitz in front of it that you can't shoot his feet. Or you park a Blackbeard in front of it that the parts of him that are below his rifle shield are protected. Or there's some interesting things there, which I suppose don't differ significantly from a Mira window.
Right.
Like, if you pop the glass out, you've got that whole reinforced section, but now you've got this area you can shoot through. So I suppose it would be like a similar effect, except instead of having to get in from the other side and pop it from the inside, this would sound like something you could do from the outside as an attacker.
Right. Or even because you're kind of making it seem like they can just do the top portion. What if they could also do the bottom portion and, you know, cover objectives from stairs and stuff like that? You have attacker go in, and they, you know, you're on the stairs, the bottom of the stairs, and you know, this operator takes out the bottom section so you can kind of shoot through. So as you see people come in, you can, you know, shoot at their feet, and they don't necessarily know where it's coming from.
I can see it being really handy on bomb mode too. So you go into a room, you plant the diffuser, and then, like you say, you take out the bottom half of a reinforced wall. And then you have somebody camping like way down a hallway in another room. And because you've taken out the bottom half of that reinforcement, you have a perfect line of sight on the diffuser. But because it's on like the lower half, like defense has to like you'd see their feet running up, and they'd have to almost drop prone to see under it to see you too, which puts them at a disadvantage for diffusing it. You know, so I mean, I could see some major strats revolving around something like that kind of a mechanic.
For sure. Yeah, that'd be cool. And I guess, we don't necessarily know what this new operator or this new grenade is going to be doing.
We don't even know for sure if it's a grenade. Right. That's what the rumor is, but
the new gadget. But yeah, I think that'd be kind of interesting. And it sort of reminds me of, when you were talking about your pro thermite tip of how you can, so I don't know. It's cool. I like it.
Yeah. I could definitely see that. All right. Well, I think this is a good spot to stop for this week. We, have things that are in the mix for next week, and we will definitely be bringing that to you. If you want to go ahead and give us a follow, make sure that you are, you know, just keeping along with everything that's going on, staying up to date on the latest shows as they come out for our weekly podcast. Don't forget to join us over at Rainbow Six Radio subreddit. So you can find us over there. Join us, be part of the community, engage in the discussion, ask questions. Captain and I will answer your questions over there and talk to you. You can also submit your questions for community Q&A and see if there's something you want to know. It can be Siege related. It can not be Siege related. Just whatever you want to know, go ahead and post it there, and we may select your question for a future show. Post your gameplay clips. Just come over and, you know, join us. Be part of the community. You can also find us on Twitter. I am IcyCat25 on Twitter. And you can find CapDan at CapDansGhost. That's like CapCan with a K, but CapDan, CapDansGhost on Twitter. And until then, we will catch you guys next time.
This has been Rainbow Six Radio. Be sure to tune in next time for even more Rainbow Six talk, news, and information.